Hello there, my name is Aaron Moss, and this is the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, presented by Head Speaks. This is an hour-long podcast where we'll talk about the Will Payton Starman comic and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comic from the late 80s, early 90s. We'll talk about every appearance of these two great characters. If you've never read them or haven't read them in a while, this may be a good time to explore these issues. Now, let's get started with our first comic. Welcome back to the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, episode number 23. This one here is not going to be an hour long. It's going to probably be closer to half an hour. Again, as my mind shifts and turns, this podcast shifts and turns. This month, we are covering the books that came out in December of 1989. Unfortunately, only one book came out this month, Manhunter number 22. The issue of Starman that came out around this time, I'm just pulling up on my sheet here. Starman number 19 actually came out the first part of January, and Starman 20 came out the last part of January. So the last time we had this happen, I covered one of the books in the previous month and the other book in the month that came out. Again, this time I'm going to try doing it this way. I'm only going to cover the book that came out in December, which is Manhunter 22. And that means next month we'll have three books to cover. We'll cover all the books that came out in January, which was Starman 19, Manhunter 23, and Starman 20. Ryan, let me know how you think about that. Do you prefer having an hour-long episode approximately each time, or do you like having the months as they are? Not that it's really going to matter much after a couple more months. We're going to be down to only one book, and it'll be the Starman Manhunter Adventure Half Hour. But that's for that. So let's go ahead and get started with this episode. This month, again, as I said a couple times, we're covering Manhunter number 22. The cover date was February of 1990. The on-sale date was December the 12th of 1989. The cover price was $1. Editor was Jonathan Peterson. The title of this issue is called Negative Capability. Writer was Kim Yell. Plotter, John Ostender. Penciler, Grant Meehan. Inker, John Statham. Letterer, Jaspar Saladino. Colorist, Carl Gafford. And the cover was done by Grant Meehan and Dick Giordano. And the comments, again, the credits and the comments all came from Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Great site. This is Saints and Sinners, Part 5 of 6. And the synopsis, again, once again, I took it from Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Mark Shaw has returned to the abandoned Manhunter Sanctum in the Himalayas. There he meets a Yeti-like creature named Nalasa, who is a part of the original Manhunter Rebellion against the Guardians of the Universe. He provides Mark with more background on the Manhunters and helps Mark to overcome his divided feelings with the help of some hallucinations. Again, quick synopsis. Now let's go ahead and go over my thoughts on this issue. As usual, we're going to start off the cover. The cover shows Manhunter facing off against Dumas. Laying on the ground next to him is the Yeti-like creature, Nasala. Probably screwing that name up, because that's what I tend to do. Here it looks like Mark's in prison uniform, prison orange. It's a good cover overall. Again, over on the left-hand side, we have our trade dress of Satan Sinners, part 5 of 6. Set off from the rest of the images insert here. It's a nice image. Like I say, this, spoilers, is kind of a scene from the book, which, I, as I've said before, I really love when the covers are actually images out of the book. Yeah, we get Dumas facing off against Mark. Mark's in just regular clothing, or again, looks like a prison jumpsuit almost. His hands colored orange. I don't know if that's supposed to be gloves or if it's just a miscoloring. Minor nitpick, because again, as I've said before, when you have a book as great as Manhunter is, sometimes all you got is nitpicks. Moving on to the story itself, we start out with Mark on the ground groveling with Nalasa standing above him, saying, you know, I don't want to hurt you. I only wish to help. And Mark's just at the last of his rope. He thinks he's killed a woman. He's tired of Manhunter affecting his life, hurting family and friends, putting his friends in danger, family in danger. So, I mean, again, I kind of understand where Mark's coming from. He's been through a lot, especially over the last 22 issues, but even before that, his other identities he had, which we'll touch on in the story. So it's just Mark's coming to the end of his rope. He's tired of being tired. He's tired of fighting and of trying to outlive the Manhunter curse, if you will. And, you know, so Mark's yelling, leave me alone. And listen, Sala is like, no, I have no desire to bury a suicide. And Mark's like, stay out of my mind, furball. Might see some things you wouldn't like. I've waited too long for you to return to leave you to your own devices, child of Voa. That's the second time you called me that. With good reason. Come, bring the baton if you like, and learn of your true nature. And then we cut to Japan, I'm assuming, where we get a press conference. Apparently, the gentleman from Southern Cross, David and Gary, have returned the stolen sword. And they kind of let a slip here that's on purpose, that Dumas was the one that really stole it, supposedly. But they leave saying, you know, no, no further information. We can't tell you who, you know, gave us this information. It's a confidential source. And then we join back with the Southern Cross guys in their lab, discussing their plans, what they need to do. You know, they stand to lose a loss backing... They stand to lose a lot backing Mark, and they're not sure that's the right thing to do. And when, again, I'm trying to remember the guys' names here. There was David, so I think David is the dark-haired one. So Gary leaves the room to do something else. He's going to go check on the baton they're repairing. And we hear David from off-screen. What are you doing there, Mark? That was quick. Did you find the baton in the temple? And then his buddy's like, David, because he just stops talking. Gary's like, David? Mark? Is that you? And they go out and we see that David's on the ground. He's got one of the Dumas' swords, knives where they are in his shoulder. And Dumas is there with his melting face. Shaw. I want Shaw. And then we cut back to the Manhunter Temple, as we tend to do in these types of stories. And I like this here on page 6, where he's talking to the Sila. He's like, okay, so you're not an alien stranded from the invasion. You're an abominable snowman instead. And the Sila's like, from time to time I have used the legend to my advantage. The natives think the Yeti haunt these ruins. That way I am not disturbed. I brought you here so you may learn the truth, Manhunter Prime. And Mark gets kind of upset. He's like, that's my old title. Who are you? And as we talked about in the synopsis, we start to get some backstory on the Manhunters and Nasala's involvement with them, mixed with Mark having delusions, visions. Nasala tells him it's time for his lessons to begin. And Mark's like, in case you haven't noticed, school's out, Nasala. Time to find another chump to play your mind games with. I'm not worthy anyway. And also he's surrounded by a bunch of Manhunters that suddenly disappear. And Nasala's trying to give him lessons as they go along. He's like, the impossible becomes possible. First lesson. And then we cut back to the Southern Cross, where David is still alive, pulling the dagger out. And he finds out that his building's been set on fire. So he breaks into the lab where his buddy Mark's at. Not Mark. Gary. Buddy's Gary's at, and apparently good buddy Gary had a force field he's able to put on that David's able to turn off, and as they free David from underneath the table, or not David, again, I'm getting confused, terrible names, Gary, the dark-haired one, Gary's like, Dumas took disc, he knows coordinates, destination, everything, gotta warn Mark. So again, they know where Mark went, now Dumas does. Again, as I said, the artwork in this book, I haven't talked about it yet, this issue, this episode. But again, it's standard artwork for this book. I've got no complaints at all with it. And I think that's one reason why I don't talk a whole lot about the art, because it's standard artwork throughout the book. It's very consistent, except for the few times I've mentioned it's not. Grant Meenum and John Statham has done a great job in the artwork on this book. It's very superhero-esque. It's not quite a full four-color superhero book, but it's close enough that I enjoy it. Because as I said before, I love the four-color superhero books, so this is close enough, in my opinion, that it works for me. And then we cut back to Nasala and Mark. Nasala's like, I could force you to believe me. Mark's like, go ahead, make me believe. I don't care anymore. And so part of, like I say, Mark's just tired of everything. He's fed up. And he's like, you know what? I'm tired of it. I don't care. I'm not worthy. So I say part of it, he's just tired of fighting everything. And also he just feels he's not worthy of being a hero. Worthy of the honor, the duty, the whatever you want to call it, of being a manhunter. Because he thinks he's failed, so he's ready to give up. And Dumas is trying to show him that he can't give up, as we'll get to later in the story. And so Nasala tells him, you know, belief compelled is not chosen. Belief compelled is not belief chosen. Unless belief is chosen, willingly chosen, it is worthless. But belief chosen is also open to corruption, by anger, by fear, by pride. I know what I say, child of Oa. You taught her to abyss edge, hoping you'll follow its just punishment for what you've done as a manhunter. You think your sins so monstrous that redemption is impossible? Second lesson, look at me. No evil escapes the manhunters. That was the original oath the guardians programmed in their android creation. And again, so he goes on, like, I keep doing that voice. Hurts my throat a little bit. But he goes on telling about how the Manhunters again, or the Guardians created the Manhunters to help stop crime. But again, robots, they don't do well with moral ambiguity. Everything with an android, with a robot, is black or white. And so Nasala was able to use the Manhunters to attack the Guardians. And he says it was a 1,000-year war with the entire galaxy and races destroyed before the Guardians finally destroyed the Manhunters. And instead of killing them, they've changed him a little bit. They operated on him. They redesigned him to make him live longer. And they exiled him to Earth. And on Earth, he tried to find the Manhunter's Grandmaster and defeat him. Again, thinking that he was strong enough to. The Manhunter leader, our Grandmaster, defeated Nasala, threw him out. So again, he went to Japan, found the samurais, took his own group of men, trained them to become what he calls the Jujin, J-U-J-I-N, an elite warrior corps that he installed the fanatical hatred of all Manhunters, used them to attack the Manhunters once again. They were all wiped out and killed. The Manhunters captured Nasala, and they used him to help program the other Manhunters. And again, we get reference to the other Manhunters here. We see Paul Kirk apparently rejected the brainwashing that he was received. And so, like, again, I like the referencing. And they're tying in all the other Manhunters that's appeared into here. And here on page 14, this one group of, I guess it's the Manhunters, looks a bit like Kiss. I don't know what that is, but maybe if I read more, a lot of some of this older stuff, they would be recognizable to me, but I'm not sure who that is. Like I said, it looks kind of like Kiss in the background almost. But Nasala says that he sensed Mark's mind and that Mark is the true Manhunter. Manhunters are constructed to eradicate evil. But again, as I talked about earlier, machines, they don't have morals. They can't deal with moral ambiguities that humans are full of. And Mark said, you know, Mark's like, well, you know, machines also have a conscience. And that's where his issue right now is that his conscience is bothering. He believes, and again, I don't think we ever got clear reference if that woman died or not. In that building, as far as Mark's concerned, she died. And he's blaming himself for it. And he's there, what is it, Mark saying, you killed a woman. Sure, it was an accident, but dead is dead. And Nasala's like, silence. Have you learned nothing from what I've shared with you? Justice must be tempered by compassion. And how can you be so merciful towards others unless you show mercy towards yourself? Third lesson. So again, he's trying to install in Mark that one reason why he's such a great manhunter, in quotes, is that he does have compassion. He does feel remorse for the bad things that's happened under his tenure, if you will. And that he can have compassion for other people, but he also needs to turn that compassion back on himself. And we as human beings, I think a lot of us have the same problem that it's hard for us to turn compassion on ourselves and forgive ourselves for mistakes we may have made. I know me personally, I've got some of those same issues. I don't talk much about it on this show. I talk a little bit more about my Head Speaks program. And I'm not going to get into my brother's death and the guilt I feel from that, but I'm not getting into that here. But just know that, again, as human beings, we all have some of the same tendencies. And I think that's one reason why I like this book, that John and Kim, which came on board, they both did an excellent job making Mark a human character, making him feel... And I haven't talked again much about it on here because it hasn't came up, I don't think, much. Again, it's been 2 years of podcast, but longer since I've been doing this. But again, I have problems when they change the race or sex or whatever of a character. And people are like, well, it's not a rogue person, so it shouldn't matter. But to me, and that's when a character, or not a character, but a writer does their job, they make you feel for a character, make you feel a character's real. I feel Mark Shaw's real. And part of it, like I say, is due to the writing that we get from John and Kim. They do a great job on this book. Again, I'm not sure how they got it broken down on these particular issues. I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past. But John and Kim have done a great job making Mark feel like a human being. Feel human. Given the, you know, human failings and quibbles. And, I don't know, I really enjoy this book. But as Nasala's finishing up here, talking, all of a sudden, they hear someone behind him saying, in blackest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evils might beware my power. Green Lantern's light. And Hal Jordan Green Lantern shows up. And we get some mental thoughts, some thought balloons from Mark saying how he tried to frame Hal as part of a Manhunter plot to describe the Guardians when he was in the Justice League. And he's trying to, you know, talk to Hal and explain what's going on. And Hal's like, I don't think I should honor a request made by thieves, much less someone I consider a traitor. And so they start fighting. And Mark follows the guy's like, Nasala, this isn't fair. And Nasala's like, life is often unfair. Why should you be exempt from its capriciousness? He's like, a weapon, anything. And Green Lantern ties him up with an energy construct and says, you think I'm acting unfairly, Mr. Manhunter? Privateer? Czar? Ask the family that woman in that conference room. Today was her funeral. And then he's confronted by a bunch of ghosts of his past. We get the Red Tornado. What was his name? Outlaw. Amanda Waller. Simon LaGreve. People he's dealt with in the past. Some recognize someone does. He's got his family over here. We have Batman in the background. And then Dumas comes up to him. You killed me. I died giving you a better life, and you're unworthy of it. He pulls off his mask, and we see his father's face. And then we get back to Green Lantern And all of a sudden, a guillotine appears. And Hal's like, I don't know how, Shaw, but the ring's manifesting your thoughts. It would tell that you got a real morbid imagination. Because, again, because we're seeing his thoughts through Hal's ring. And suddenly, both Hal and Mark are on the guillotine platform. And Mark's like, I'm making this easy on you. Open the trap, as he puts the rope around his neck. And Hal's like, are you nuts? You believe you deserve to die. That's why you summoned me from your memories, your executioner. I like here on the bottom of page 20, Hal's like, hang by the neck until dead. Spoke like a true manhunter, who dispenses justice short of compassion or forgiveness. What arrogant pride in yourself, condemnation. Thief, murder, traitor, is that all there is to Mark Shaw? And at that point, Mark's finally like, no, there's more. Here we join, there's... And all of a sudden, everything's gone, and we realize this whole scene, the last couple of pages, has been in his mind. Again, holograms or just a figment of imagination. We're not quite sure what. But see, I believe there's actually, it wasn't just in his mind. It actually, his mind conjures like hologram or an image or something. Because here on the bottom of page 21, after, you know, he realizes that he's both saint and sinner. He's a human. He's laying in the gutter, but he's gazing at the stars. Yeah, it's a paradox. A balance of opposites. That's me. And I accept that. So here at the bottom of page 21, Mark's finally able to overcome his inner demons and realize that while he has made mistakes, he's human and that's what humans do. And that's not a bad thing. But the reason I said that apparently I think Hal Jordan and all that stuff was actually there to an extent is if from off panel we get someone saying, so now you fight make-believe foes. How pathetic. But I am no fairy tale, Mark Shaw. I am reality. I am your death. And then we get Duma standing over the body of Nasala. Nasala's laying there bleeding. And we're getting ready for the final showdown between the two, I'm sure. But that's where the story ends. Again, like I said, I've enjoyed the artwork. I think Kim and John have done a great job on this book. Making Mark feel like a human. Making him feel like a three-dimensional character, not just a comic book. And that's one reason I really like this book. Again, I've only got a couple issues left in it. I'm not sure what we do after that, but what do you guys think? You guys read this? Do you think I'm on point with what I'm saying about the way John and Kim has written Mark and the characters in this book? Or is it just my own imagination? Write in. You can write into smah@headspeaks.com. Let me know what you think about it. And also, let me know what you think I should do. Like I said, I've got two more issues of Manhunter left before I wrap up the Manhunter series. I think there's a couple other appearances elsewhere I'm going to look into and see. I'll probably cover those briefly. But once I'm done with that, should I cover the Kate Shaw Manhunter book? I tried reading that, but I couldn't get into it. I could try it again for you guys if you guys are interested. Or should I just leave it with Starman for the time being? Maybe I can start covering two issues a month. I don't know. I'm still debating how to end this. Not really to end it, but what to do, what I've done with Manhunter. Let me know what you think. Write in and let me know. Again, smah@headspeaks.com. Or you can go to the website, starman-manhunter.headspeaks.com. Or go to the Facebook page. Go to Facebook and look for Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour. And you'll find me. Leave me some comments. Let me know what you guys think. Also, feel free to rate me on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Let me know what you think. Rate me, give me some feedback, let me know. Again, I haven't got much feedback from people, but I continue to do this show because I enjoy hearing myself talk. I enjoy talking about these comics. But if I can get some feedback from you guys, it would make me a better host. And that's what I want. But I guess that's going to end it for this episode. Again, it's only going to be half an hour long or so, not quite. Not going to play any promos since it's so short. Next month, we'll be back with three books. So until next time, keep looking to the stars. Thank you for listening to another great episode of the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour. Please join us next month for another great, fantastic episode as we cover another issue of
Will Payton Starman series and the Mark Shaw Manhunter series. Keep in mind that these podcasts are not affiliated or endorsed by DC Comics. I'm just a fanboy who loves these comics and wants to spread these love with everyone else out there and just talk about them. Again, you can email us at smah@headspeaks.com. Or you can go to our blog, which is at starman-manhunter.headspeaks.com. You can also go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/starman-manhunter-adventure-hour. No spaces, all one word. But once again, thank you very much for joining us. Until next episode, this is Aaron Moss saying, see you in the funny pages.